Luke chapter 1, verse 37. We're going to talk today about the God of wonder and the Lord of the impossible. Can someone say amen? Luke chapter 1, verse 37. I'm reading from the New King James Version today. It says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Hallelujah. Thus the subtitle, "The Lord of the Impossible." We're going to look today at a God who doesn't know what it means to fail, a God who doesn't know what it means to not finish what he started. The Amplified Version of the verse we just read says, "For with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." Hallelujah to God. I am sure as I stand here today, there are those amongst us, if not everyone, who has a word from God. It may have come through a prophet. It may have come through a preacher. It may have come through a reading of the word. It may have come through your own prayer life. Hallelujah. But somebody here, if not everyone, has a promise from God. Anybody who has a promise from God or a word from God, that word is not without power. And no matter what it may look like, it's not impossible for it to be fulfilled. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. I want to start with a simple statement here. We believe in miracles here at Abundant Life Fellowship. Hallelujah. I believe in a miracle-working God. God does the impossible, and he does it on a regular basis. Can someone say amen? Many people have been through here. Some are still sitting here. And many people, in the sound of my voice and those who went on, have received bona fide miracles from God. We have people who've had cancers taken away. Diabetes is taken away. There's a woman sitting in this church. I didn't know she was going to be here today. But a few years ago, before I came here, someone was laying in a hospital dead and dying. When I say that, she was more dead than dying. But people from this body, from this church, went and prayed and prophesied over her. And the word of God came forth that she would not only be healed, she would be saved, and she would stand in the church of God and testify. You don't have to believe me. Turn and ask Tony sitting over there in the corner. She's the young lady. God did that. Doctors gave up. She was in a coma. Couldn't do anything for her. Get ready to prepare for her burial. But God says, "No, I got a better idea. I've got a miracle with Tony's name on it." Can someone say amen? Cancers have been healed, along with every other disease or sickness you can turn your mind to. Amen? Many of these miracles, if not all, are documented. Hallelujah. When I say document, I'm saying the doctor said it's there after the operation. He said, "No, it's not." Hallelujah. Someone knows about that. I won't mention any names, but someone asked the doctor, "Why didn't you figure that out before you cut on me?" Hallelujah to God. I'm talking about documented bona fide miracles. No fakes, no phonies, the real thing. God does that today, and he does it right here. Can someone say amen? I also believe in miracles in the mission field. It's not just here in the church. It's not just it's in the mission field. First time Brother Charlie took me to Silistra, Bulgaria. It was a challenge. They brought. Remember the lady they brought to us on the stage who was blind in one eye? You got to understand something. Someone comes up and they got a cancer, you lay hands on them, you send them to the doctor. Someone comes to you and they're blind, you're going to know right then and there if they got healed. Amen. We believed for a miracle, and instantaneously God gave her perfect vision in both eyes. Amen. She didn't have to go here. She didn't have to run around the block. She didn't have to, you know, "Give me $10,000 and God might heal you." God just touched that woman, and instantly she could read, she could see, and she could hear. God healed that woman. In the same meeting, they brought a young man who was born deaf. I say young man, I'm talking 25, 30 maybe. Never heard anything. But with the power of God, when prayer was applied, for the first time, he heard in the middle of that church service. And you know the very first thing he heard? He heard 150 to 200 Bulgarians in their language saying, "Praise God!" I know they were saying that because that's the one thing I do know in Bulgarian, Slavin de Bulga. I just said that for my Bulgarian friends who are going to listen to this on the internet. Amen? But there was a whole bunch of people praising God, and the first thing that man ever heard was a bunch of people just praising and worshiping Jesus. Hallelujah. There were an uncountable number of miracles that day. A couple days later in a gypsy village, Babuk. I love the name of that place. Hallelujah. Brother Charlie, remember Simeon? Little 5-year-old boy had epilepsy so bad. Well, they thought it was epilepsy. But he had something so bad, he hadn't spoken in 5 years. Hallelujah. Brother Charlie and I went to pray for him. I looked at Charlie. He looked at me. We stood back about 10 steps.
I don't know about you, Charlie, but I'm feeling more than epilepsy here.
But we prayed, and whatever it was in that boy went away, and the boy began to speak for the first time ever. I'm telling you, God performs miracles. They brought a barren woman to us, a woman who could not have a child. You got to be careful what you pray for people, especially when it goes through the interpreter, and it came through something like, go home and make a baby. Well, apparently she obeyed the word of God, because when we went back 6 months later, she was very pregnant. Hallelujah. And someone just said, how many kids did she have? I don't know. Maybe we need to stop the prayer. We should probably call it Babook. Poor lady, maybe have anyway. Hallelujah. They brought us the village witch. Ooh, hallelujah. But the woman, God loved this village witch. She was dying of stomach cancer. But we prayed for her. Sent her back to her doctor the next day, and guess what? No more cancer. God didn't care that she was serving the devil. God said, I'm going to show you my mercy. I'm going to show you my grace. I'm going to show you my power. I guarantee you, the God that she encountered that day in that prayer meeting was a whole lot more powerful than the one she'd been preaching. Hallelujah. God is a God of miracles. We also believe in a miracle called deliverance. Can someone say deliverance? We believe in a thing called deliverance. I've seen it in the church, the prisons, the shelters, on the street, under tents. Hallelujah. Alcohol, drugs, medications, anything you can shoot, drink, smoke, snort, inhale, or skin pop. Some of you have no idea what I just said. Most of you just went, amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now, if you're in a halfway house or a prison or someplace and you're listening to this on the internet, I'm telling you right now, God can deliver you. I'll speak to you right now. God can break and will break as we speak the power of addiction in your life as we speak this message. Hallelujah. You do not have to be addicted. God is a miracle worker. Someone say amen. I have seen God set free so many who've been bound. The list doesn't stop there. Hallelujah. God does recreative miracles. Now, y'all may have a problem. If you've had a problem with anything I have just said, you're about to have a big problem. What am I about to say? Hallelujah. Had a man bring a little girl to us one time. A child, 5, 6, 7-year-old child. Child was deaf. I just did something I seen someone do. I stuck my finger in her ear and said, in the name of Jesus, hear. And she could. And I said, that's great. I know God does miracles. But this man was really excited because he said later, so you don't understand, preacher. This girl has no bones in her ear. Guess what? When she went back to the doctor, she had bones in her ear. Amen. God put those little bitty bones inside of her ear canal. And she can hear. Glory unto God. God don't really, I don't want to say care. That's not right, Lord. God is not worried whether the all the pieces are there. He'll make new ones. Amen. Hallelujah. Many years ago in our younger days, my wife and I prayed for a little girl whose legs were deformed at birth. The girl could just stand there. She could maybe wobble like a little penguin. She couldn't walk. But when we prayed for her, in the parking lot of an apartment building, her legs cracked, moved, and straightened out. She took off running. She was running weeks later. Amen? God does amazing things. And guess what? God also sets free those who are bound by demon spirits. I'm not going to preach on that today. I'm not going to spend the time. But I'm here to tell you there's many, many, many demons who need to be cast out and have been cast out by the power of Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. And of course, let's not forget that God also raises the dead. I've seen it. I know. I've seen the dead jump back up and kind of look around and shake their head and go, what was that? God got a hold of them, would not let the enemy take them off into hell. Said, no, I'm not done with that one. I'm going to snatch it back. Hallelujah, God. I want to say here, if you're listening to this on the web and you need a miracle, get on the web, click on directions, find out where we are, and come on in. We'll pray for you. Amen? Amen. There's something about these kind of miracles. I'm calling them instantaneous miracles. They're so exciting. When you lay hands on somebody and instantaneously see the power of God flow through them, it's just, I can't explain it. I cannot. If you've never seen a miracle, my God, you need to get up in the front more often when we're praying for people. I got saved on a Sunday, seen my first miracle a couple days later, and I believed in them ever since. I've seen a person's body physically change before my eyes, and no one can convince me that God is not a miracle-working God ever since that day. God is a powerful God. When you see it, when you experience it, you never forget it. Amen? To see the power of God as it transforms and changes your life, perhaps forever, is probably the most exhilarating experience of this universe. Now, I'm not going to get into this whole thing of what we used to do in the old days to get high, what you may be doing now to get high, but whatever it is not nearly as powerful as a miracle from God. When God moves, it's something that there's nothing in the world that can compare to it. Absolutely nothing. Sometimes, I've had this happen as a preacher many times, you can actually feel the power of God manifest as you pray. No, for years when I first got born again, they didn't let me preach. I was an usher. And that was back in the day when it was obligatory that you fall over when you got prayed for. You couldn't help it. If you faked it, you never fell over. If you fell over, there was not an usher behind you. It was just the way it was. But the power of God, we're going back into the charismatic renewal, was so powerful. A man of God would go to touch you, you could just be repelled backwards from the power of God. And many of our I was one of them, and others came along as ushers. And I used to stand there behind a person. Their preacher would pray for him. It'd be like stand behind somebody, and the person in front is getting a bucket of water thrown at him. Most of the water hits the person, but you got to watch out for the overspray. And the power of God, by the time the service was over, all the ushers, we were just drunk as could be in the spirit. You want prayer now, George? No, I'm fine. I'm good. Hallelujah. There's just something exciting about that manifest power. Amen? Hallelujah. But I want to remind you of something today, as we're talking about this. There are some, maybe even many miracles, that are not quite so obvious or not quite so instantaneous. Hallelujah. Sometimes, listen close, sometimes you all got to be paying attention if you want to see the miracles of God. Amen? We live in a day where the word miracle is very misapplied to too many instances. Everything that happens, oh, that was a miracle, that was a miracle, that was a miracle. We can actually miss the hand of God, especially when he moves in a more subtle way. Oh, yeah, we see the fire and smoke. We see people falling over. We see legs growing. We see all that. Oh, yeah, power of God. But what if God takes a lifetime to perform a miracle? What about the children you prayed for years ago, and they're still not quite serving God? You see, God has not forgotten. It may not be instantaneous, but when he's done with it, it'll be just as much of a miracle as the woman who got her eyes open on the stage in Solistra. Amen? It'll be just as powerful, just as much God, and just as miraculous when that unsaved child begins to serve God. Oh, I should have got a whole bunch of amens from parents on that. Hallelujah. There is a danger that sometimes, we're too busy to actually see God's amazing acts in our lives. Oh, shame on us, Lord. We can get so tied up with what we're doing, with our career, with our family, with our education. There's so much out there just screaming, saying, give me your attention. We can get so busy. We don't see God's power. We don't see God's miracles. Hallelujah to God. We may not have too much trouble believing God performed miracles in the Bible, but many of us have a problem believing God still performs them today. I want to say that really again. I want to say it's a little slower. Most people in most churches, not just this, not just a full gospel brand or non-denominational or whatever, but almost everyone in every church has little trouble believing that during biblical days, Jesus performed miracles. You can ask anyone on this church street over here or up on the hill behind us, anybody walking out of those buildings, ask them if God performed miracles in the Bible, and they'll say, yeah. But they're not so sure that he still does it today. Because we're not looking for it. We're not expecting it. We're not asking for it. Can someone say amen? Or you can say, oh my. See, the thing is, I want you to understand today that what God did then, he still does today. God still raises the dead. God still cleanses the leper. God still gives sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. He gives words to the dumb. He fixes families. He raises the dead. God has not changed. We need to ask of God. We need to ask large, and we need to expect and be looking for his incredible power. Hallelujah. We can get so busy we don't see it, especially if it's one of those miracles that takes a bit of time. Hallelujah. I think what I want to suggest to you today is that we all need to step back and take a look at the way that God has already been working in your life. Hallelujah. I really want you to do this during the week. Not so much today. But I want you to, after you leave here, I want you to think back and say, what has God done in the X amount of years that I've served him? I'll go a step further. Try to figure out what he did before you begin serving him. I'll go a step further. What he did in your life before you had a life. See, you got to understand something. God was not invented by the church in the last 200 years or the last 2,000 years. God's been around before there was a church, before there was a world, before there was a universe. And the Bible says before he laid the foundation of the world, he had a plan for you. It did not say it would come to pass instantaneously. Glory unto God. We need to reflect on the amazing things that God has done. Some of us have actually forgotten what we've asked him. We prayed for something. It didn't come to pass. We have forgotten what it was. Hallelujah to God. You know what? He hasn't forgotten. Some things take so long that when they actually happen, we don't acknowledge that it was his hand that performed it. I hear it all the time from church people.
Well, I finally got that figured out.
Did you? Or did God suddenly say, okay, it's time? See, yeah, we have to deal with something here. We're going to deal with it just a little bit more here in a minute. It's up to God when this happens. Can I say something here, and it probably gets you all just a little bit irritated, if not outright mad? Many of you are asking God for a miracle he can't give you because you're not ready to get it just yet. Can I start with the pulpit and say the preacher's waiting on some miracles that he's not quite ready to get yet? God is working in my life and your lives to prepare us to receive the answer to the prayer we prayed whenever. Glory unto God. And before I move on, I got to say this also. I can't help it. I got to say it. Once we realize God's power, we need to rehearse those miracles to anyone and everyone who'll listen to us. We need to tell people what God has done. It's got to be something criminal or sinful, one of the two or both, about getting something great from God and then sitting back and not telling anybody. Jesus said to let them know. How else will people know if a preacher's not sent? Don't look at me when I have that scripture. I'm not the one that word does not mean the paid preacher. That's every single one of us. We all have a story to tell. We all have a testimony. We all have a way we can brag on God. And when you're trying to figure out just who you should tell, how about starting with your children and your grandchildren and great-grandchildren? How about talking about telling this to the generations coming up under you? Hallelujah. We wonder why. I am so vexed. I see a generation that knows not God growing before my very eyes when I go into the school systems. It vexes me to walk inside there. But the reason they don't know, because mommy and daddy didn't tell them. Hello? Hallelujah. If you're sitting here today and you've received a miracle from God, I want to know, have you told your children? Have you told them often? And have you told them with great excitement? Hallelujah. Someone needs to know. Our children, our grandchildren, loved ones, they need to know that God cares for and loves them and will do miracles for them too. Miracles did not end in the Bible. They did not end with the revivals of the 1800s and 1900s. They did not end with the charismatic renewal where I got saved. Miracles have not ended. Hallelujah to God. God is still saving, healing, delivering. One of these long-term miracles, I want to call it, involves our friend Abram and his wife Sarai. Glory unto God. You know, the Bible, I've said this more and more and more, we need to make sure it's relevant. I mean, it is relevant, but we need to make it relevant in our lives. Abram, he's about to become Abraham. Abram and Sarai had a promise from God. God said, Abram, I'm going to give you your own son. I'm going to give you a son that came from Sarah's womb. It will be your heir. Now, hallelujah. We pray for that little gypsy lady over there in Bulgaria, and 6 months later, she was with child. Didn't quite happen that way for Sister Sarai. She went a long time. First of all, she was pretty old when she got the promise. Now, I'm not going to preach this whole thing, but I want you ladies to think about this. Amen? She was past the age of having a baby. And God comes and says, you're going to have a baby. Now, we're going to look a little later where Sarai laughed at the men who said that. If I was 89 years old, or if Sarai was 89 years old, I can see why she was laughing. If I was 99 years old, like Abram, someone says, you're going to have a baby, I wouldn't laugh, I'd cry. Hallelujah. God bless you, parents. God gave you kids at the right age because you still got the strength to deal with them. Hallelujah. I know that grandpa and great grandpa can't keep up. I know that. Hallelujah. For the last several weeks, we've been kind of following this man and wife through several chapters of the book of Genesis. We've seen how they left Haran to follow God, a God they couldn't see. I ain't going to spend time, but I just get so tickled when I think about that. I mean, here's Abram. He's out there talking. God talks to him. It's okay, Abram. It's time to pack up and leave. He had to go home and talk to Sarai about this. And all the kids and the servants and the kids and the cattle, this was no little thing. We're going to go to grandma's house. No. This was a big deal. But they followed God. God was promising them. What we've seen them as they went along, and they actually let Lot choose the best of the land. Why did he do that? Because he believed, or they believed, that God could take better care of them than they could do for themselves. See, something's going on with Abram and Sarai. They're growing. They're growing from the mindless, okay, we're going to go. There's things happening in their lives. Something is growing them, a thing called character. God was working on these two people. Hallelujah. Perhaps, the reason they didn't get their son just yet, because they weren't quite ready. Maybe one of the reasons you haven't got all your blessings from God yet, God is still developing within you the character that you need to handle it all. I don't have time to repeat that. You can go back and listen out on the tape. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. We saw Abram as he raised up an army from his own service and fought to save his nephew, which was a great success, by the way. Amen? And all the time, all while all these things were happening, he kept waiting on God to keep his promise to give him a son. Last week we looked how the after the battle, God showed up. We've went from Haran, a voice speaking to the man, to God showing up in person now. And in the midst of it, he says, I have not forgotten my promise to you. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. You can go back and read the 15th chapter of Genesis if you want. Probably be good practice. Haven't read it in a while. He looked at us and says, fear not. He wasn't talking about the battle. He knew what was in Abram's heart. It's about to change. See, between the 15th and 18th chapter of Genesis, something changed. Now Abram became Abraham. Now please understand why I believe this stuff is important. When you talk about changing names, names in biblical terms denote character. When you see a biblical character's name changed, is because either his character has changed or is about to change from that moment on. He went from the exalted father, Abram, to the father of many, Abraham. Now, I want to throw this out for what it's worth. I heard a rabbi teach this once. I know from my studies of Hebrew, there is no H sound in Hebrew. There's no such thing as Abraham. When you see an H in Hebrew, it's what's called a breathing sound. Depending which side the little thingy is on there. A little too technical there, but it's either a heavy breathing sound or a light breathing sound. Heavy breathing has nothing to do with some stuff you see on TV. He went from Abraham to Abraham. And the rabbi taught this way. He says, when God breathed on Abram, then he was ready to receive the promises of God. See, sometimes we just need to have God breathe on us. We need the Holy Spirit of God released in our lives. We need to have God just go, the same way he did with Adam in the garden. As he created him, he said he breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. When God breathed on Abram and he became Abraham, he was now ready to receive the promises of God. But you know, something else was going on, brother. Sarai was being changed and challenged also. Because now by the 18th chapter, she's no longer Sarai. She's Sarah. And I heard that same rabbi say, when you finally get the I out of your life, God can bless you. Hallelujah. So yeah, I want to take all that and to say that God had been working for decades on this husband and wife. It didn't matter that Abram was 99 and she was 89. God is not bound by nature. God is not bound by the natural. They may say it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. Hallelujah to God. Glory. Many preachers today want to talk about faith. But I want to talk about a faith that's willing to wait as long as it takes for God to do the job. You got to understand, if you want to do a word study, look up the word faith. You can't look up the word faith without finding the word wait. It's in there. Hallelujah. For people to get instantaneous miracles takes faith. For people to wait on theirs takes faith. The Bible says that when God came down and Abraham cut the covenant with God, or God cut the covenant with Abraham, is that Abraham believed God and was counted to him as righteousness. All the wars, all the leaving of home, all the giving of the land to Lot was not counted as righteousness. But because he was willing to believe what he couldn't see, he believed what God told him. God said, you are a righteous man. God is not interested in what you do. He wants to know what you believe. And you can't have belief unless it's attached to somebody. And in this case, we're talking about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God. There must be the type of faith that says, I might not get it today, but I know it's coming. Hallelujah. Chapters 18 and 19 of Genesis, Abraham's growing. He's growing older. He's growing in character. Hallelujah. By this time, he's earned a new name. Hallelujah. Abraham had come a long way from his home in Haran. When he encountered these men, in my notes I've got quotation marks. When he encountered these men outside of his tent in the plains, he was 99, Sarah was 89, still no son. Still no son. Now, y'all do the math, y'all think about this. I'm not going any further with that, except to say it was naturally impossible. God is not bound by this. I think I just said this a moment ago, but God's not bound by nature. God's not bound by the obvious. Hallelujah. They were past the years of child production, but they continued to believe God. Y'all don't get that. Or you're just too religious to sit there and say, oh, you can't talk about that in church. I just did. It's all right. Hallelujah. Someone needs to turn to their neighbor and say, miracle? 99-year-old man making a baby with an 89-year-old woman. That's a miracle. They continued to believe. In spite of everything they seen, they kept believing. Hallelujah. These men had a message. By the way, some people say they were angels. Some actually say one of them was Christ. All I know is they were there. That much I can attest to. They were there. Not because I was there, but because the Bible said so. Something changed at that moment with this visitation. Up to now, Abraham and Sarah, I get them mixed up here, have gotten a promise from God. Now God gave them a date. Within a year. When you're 99, boy, a year can be a long time. Within a year, the promise has come. They have been waiting for decades. Now God sends someone and says, I'm going to give you a timeline. Hallelujah. Within this story, there's a very important story within it, and that's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. I won't preach that whole story, but I got a couple things I want to say. According to Scripture, because the level of sin in those two cities had grown so great, God decided to judge and destroy it. Now, I'm not here to preach judgment. Not today, anyway. But what I am going to say is God will judge all sin. Okay? Abraham, this is cool. This shows you the character of Abraham. Maybe this is why God knew he was ready for fatherhood. He's ready for blessings. Abraham had two pieces of news. One good and one shocking. Okay? I really believe that during this incident here, the true character of Abraham can be seen, okay? The character that God had been developing in his chosen man, the character that needed to be developed before the promise of God could be fulfilled. When God revealed his plan for the twin cities of sin, Abraham began to intercede for those who were about to perish. When God revealed, please listen to this. This is not Sodom and Gomorrah. This is Collinsdale and surrounding areas. When God revealed the judgment of sin to come, Abraham began to beg God to spare the people. I want to make a point here I think is very important. He wasn't asked to spare just the righteous one. He said, I want you to spare them all. I want you to read this. I want you to go home and read this stuff. He said, Lord, if there's 10, will you save them all? If there's 5, he kept preaching it. He kept begging and interceding. God made him a promise, Becky. I want everybody sitting here, I pick her up because she's one of our intercessors. But I want you to understand there's something important here. God said, if I can find 10 righteous ones, I'll save both cities. Holmesdale is in the brink of judgment. Can God find enough people in Holmesdale to spare this city? In the midst of getting his blessings from God, Abraham didn't forget about the people he lived with. Someone help me out here. Abraham, he should have been beside himself, and I'm sure he was, oh, finally, after all this time, we're going to have the baby. Oh, God, please don't destroy those around me. Please don't destroy Sodom. Please don't. Something happened on that man. There was a character in him that let him know he was not the most important person on the face of the earth. He already got his blessing, but he wanted others to be blessed. I got to give a statement here to the church. God is blessing his church. Let's not forget the people who live next door to us. God wants to save Holmesdale. You may not like your neighbor. You may not like that person on the street. You may not like the people who cut you off and shoot you the bird and say things to you. If you're in a foreign country, you know what that means? Forget what I just said. He didn't forget them. He says, God, save them. Don't destroy them. If there's only a handful of righteous people, will you please not destroy them? But here comes the sad part of it. God couldn't find even a handful. And we know what happened. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Hallelujah. In the midst of receiving blessings from God, Abraham did not forget those who lived around him, even the ones who didn't believe in God. Hello. Abraham never lost compassion for the lost. Oh, church, God help us. God help the church the day we lose compassion for the lost. Here's where I want to end here, okay? God has not forgotten his promises to you. Remember we talked about this last week? God has made promises. I have thoughts towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts for good and not for evil to bring about an expected end. God has not forgotten his promises. He will come through even if it takes longer than we'd like. But while we're waiting, will we forget the lost? Hallelujah. Jeff, could you play the piano for me? Will we forget the lost? What about those in our city? I'm talking to folks here live in Holmesdale, Pennsylvania, but maybe you're listening in another country, another city. What about the people in your city? While you're getting your blessings from God, will you forget about those outside your door? Outside your church door? Those who may belong to the wrong church. Do you know that to them you're in the wrong church? Y'all going to have to work that one out. Hallelujah. Abraham never forgot. He interceded What about the ones that you know are living in sin? What about the ones that are giving you a hard time? Maybe they're living a bad example for your children to follow. I can put up with a lot, but you mess with my family, I can get outright ugly. What about those? Abraham prayed for those too. God promised Abraham if he could find just a handful of righteous people in those cities, he'd save all the people for their sakes. I wonder today how many it would take to stop the judgment of Holmesdale. And I wonder if God can find that many. I know that God wants to save the city. The scripture says he wishes none should perish. White ones, black ones, female ones, male ones, old, young, rich, poor, working, unemployed. None should perish. But all will come to the saving knowledge of his son. I wonder how many righteous people it will take to stop God's judgment. And I wonder if he can find that many. We're talking about miracles here. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ is God's greatest miracle. In the midst of everything, the most powerful thing is not the healings, it's not the raising from the dead, it's Jesus Christ. Jesus gave us eternal life when we were dead in our sins. So we need to go back and look at ourselves and say, okay, where was I? For me, it was over 30 years ago now, but where was I? I was on my way to hell. The only thing I had coming to me, my rights, was a sinner's grave and an eternal hell. That's what I had the right to. Jesus intervened because people prayed for me, intervened for me, loved me. We need to thank God today for his precious son, his greatest miracle of all. So, how are you at spotting miracles? Do we see them everywhere they happen? Or just when they're big and flashy and instantaneous? Can we see them when they appear smaller or when they take some time to happen? Maybe, just maybe, we've missed the miracle of amended marriage. The miracle of a teenager who returns to his or her faith. The miracle of a friend who finds in their heart to forgive you. That's also miracles. I want us to pray today. We need to ask God to help us see those miracles. The miracles he performs every day as well as the ones that have been long awaited. Father, there's none of us here that would deny that you are a miracle-working God. But I pray today that our faith would be renewed and restored. That we would dare to believe you. That, Father, the things we've prayed for years, Lord, I ask you to restore our faith. They will come to pass. You may have to change our character and change us so we can receive it and maybe even alter our prayer enough to be in your will. But may our faith never fail us. May we be able to wait upon the Lord. You've told the prophet that those who would wait upon you, you would renew our strength. Lord, some of us are tired. For some of us, it's been a long time we've been waiting. But you said, if we waited on you, you'd renew our strength. You said, we could mount up like eagles with wings. You said, we could run, not be weary. The Lord, we could just keep pressing in and not be tired. I pray, Father God, you renew our strength. Renew our faith. Help us to be spotters of miracles once again. Lord, not only the ones that we see here on Sunday mornings, but the ones that aren't quite so obvious. The ones that are taking a little longer, but they're just as important. just as miraculous as any other. Father, restore our faith in you, the God of wonder, the Lord of the impossible. May our words always be that with God, nothing is impossible. Father, as we leave this place, I pray during this Christmas season, this Thanksgiving season, that, Lord, our eyes would truly be fixed upon you. That, Lord, we would be thankful.